Welcome to Sleon Productions Podcast. This is your host, Santiago Leon. And today's guest, we have Jules. Now, Jules is an interesting character. I met him at WordCamp. It's a WordPress conference held in a bunch of cities across the U.S. and in the world. And I met him at WordCamp Miami. And I think we were eating lunch. I was looking for someone to eat lunch with. And he was such a nice guy, very abrasive. And like our previous podcast interviews, I usually meet people at a restaurant or at a cafeteria, and we were at the FIU cafeteria eating our Subway. And he really was full of energy, full of, you know, entrepreneur spirit.
That's you talking about me?
I'm talking about, yeah. Jules, welcome to the Sleon Podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing a lot better hearing all of that. I don't know.
You're a good guy.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. You're good people. You know, you said something interesting. You said you were looking for somebody to have lunch
eat with. Because, you know, eating by yourself is not
networking.
Networking.
Did you read that book, Never Eat Lunch Alone?
No.
That's why it's funny that you said that, because that book, that's part of the reason that they titled it that. Because the premise of that whole book is about networking.
Really?
And if you're going to sit down and have lunch, especially in the setting that we were in,
yeah,
you should actively look for somebody to network with and have lunch
always,
with. And you
always
did that.
I did
and
that.
And here we are.
I did that. And so you know something?
Yeah.
Here's my philosophy. It's 50-50.
Okay.
Either the person can reject you or they can accept you.
Whatever.
Is that case.
Yeah.
And if they reject you eating there, either you walk away or you just keep eating and just stay quiet. And maybe down in that little lunch period, you're able to, you know, have a conversation.
Yeah. I'm glad we did.
So
here we are.
So, Jules, back then you were an employee.
I was.
And you were about to quit your job, or you quit your job by then.
I had just given maybe a few days before that.
Yeah.
Maybe a few days. I don't know how long, but around that time I had given my job notice, yeah.
I remember that. So tell me a little bit about yourself.
Man, that's always a hard question for me. Right now, my main thing is, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I've always been an entrepreneur. I haven't always been a good one, but I'm a seeker. I've always been somebody that pursues business opportunities, even when I did have a job. But I got to a point where I realized to get to the level that I want to get to accomplish some of the stuff that I want to accomplish, I'm better off doing my own thing. Yeah, and so I've been doing that for a while. I've got a couple of companies, not to sound like a mogul yet, but I've got a couple of things going, because that's the other thing that I know about myself is I get bored easily. I'm interested in a lot of things, but I also get bored easily. So I threw a lot of things out there to kind of see, test the waters for myself, see what passions I have that are somewhat profitable or productive to the extent that I could get certain results from them. And, you know, I tried that out, and now I've got from all those seeds, I have a couple of companies.
I'm the same way. Like, I get bored really easy, and I started my company about 9-10 years ago, and then ever since then, I've been creating new websites, new apps. Now, websites as in, like, Liberty Student News or Whole Tide, South Florida Classifieds, other websites that I haven't even named. I forgot about them.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, you know, just want to start something. But you're right. It feels like, you know, you got to, you know, start some few things. Which ones takes off most? I like the most.
Yeah.
And I realized that, you know, maybe one could take off, maybe both can take off. But back to what, you know, you were saying about being an employee and, you know, trying to start, like, your own thing. I had one of my friends was texting me today and saying, was asking me, you know, you can't do both. You got to be your own boss eventually. You can't multitask. When did you realize?
That you can't multitask.
Yeah, it's a thing.
At least I can.
When did you really realize, you know, you're going to start a business?
I realized that young. I realized that when I was a kid going around with my father. My father was an entrepreneur. He was always involved in something. And his life he spent as an employee, but in sales. Around the time that I was young, he was involved in sales. So even if he was working for somebody from as long as I can remember, he controlled his own destiny to a certain extent. Yeah. More than you do if you're the type of employee that's just, you come in, you clock out, and that's the effort you put in, that's the time you put in, here's the results they give you. Sales and or being your own boss, it's a whole different, what's it, the guy that wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he breaks it down that way, quadrants, right? So if you go from employee to sales, I would say it probably goes under the employee quadrant, but there's employees, there's business owners, there's investors, you know. So early on, to answer your question, long story short, sorry, but early on, seeing my father in the quadrants he was in, seeing him do the things he was doing, I knew, okay, having your own business is the way to go.
You know, it's funny because I was like the same way when I was young, you know, and I've only been employed for like 3 months in my life. That's it. So I kind of knew from then that I had to start.
What did you do?
I was just a public stock clerk.
Oh, wow.
And it was really...
Oh, Publix.
Yeah, public stock clerk. Yeah, so I just put, you know, cans, Coke bottles.
Okay.
And all
I've done that.
Yeah.
My first job, I was a bagger at Winn-Dixie.
Oh, wow, Winn-Dixie.
The grocery store life, yeah.
Back when it was very popular, because now Winn-Dixie's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, not obsolete, but, you know, there's only a few out there. But they have good prices.
Mm-hmm.
So, you obviously started your own web agency early on, and now you own your own towing business.
Yeah.
So, can you explain a little bit about, you know, your both businesses and where your focus at right now?
Right now, most of my time goes into the towing business only because it's fairly new. It's something that we recently acquired. So to be specific, I didn't actually start it. It's something we acquired. That's something else that I realized about my strengths. My strengths might be more in picking up from where someone else had left off and trying to get maybe better results or just maybe different results. But yeah, most of my time right now is going into the towing, getting that, you know, to a place where, okay, this is solid, let me try something else.
How did you knew that was a good lucrative business? What did you...
I did my research. I did enough research that I felt comfortable that, okay, this is something I'd like to take on. To be honest, I'm not taking it on by myself. Obviously, I've told you, I've got partners. You know, but we all come in with our strengths and our talents and put them where they need to be, play our role. And we're starting to get good results. I like it. I'm glad we did it.
Now from, you know, from then and now, what did you learn that you didn't know back then?
Whatever I learned that I didn't know prior to buying the business?
Correct.
I tell you what, I had supervised people before. I didn't have employees before the way I have employees now. And I'm lucky enough that we've got some good employees. I realize now how important management is to a business when it comes to how you manage the employees,
right,
the people actually doing the work, how you, you know, interact with them. That along with, you know, just the skills that come into that, the leadership that's required, all the above. That's the biggest lesson I've learned so far.
How's it like to have employees and meeting that payroll? Is that something that...
Stressful.
Is it?
Stressful, but equally, what's the word I'm looking for? It's fulfilling. Because to an extent, not to sound like some... it ain't nonprofit, but I like the fact that I'm putting out into the economy. I literally, and that's where the stress comes from. I pay my employees weekly. We're literally every week, you know, that's on my mind. The same way it's on my mind to feed my son, the same way it's on any parent's mind to feed their children, it's on a business owner's mind that his employees need to be, you know, they need to be paid. They need to be compensated for all the time and energy they're putting into growing your business.
Yeah, because I just hired someone this week, actually.
You mentioned you have an assistant.
Yeah, I have an assistant now.
How's that going?
It's good. He's really good. I really, you know, it's funny because you realize how much help, like, you needed.
Hell yeah.
Because, you know, like, I mean, I'm a very lean person. I like to, you know, save money, maybe cheap, I guess, word.
That's okay.
And then, like, you know, like, he actually, we met at another WordPress meeting about a month ago, and he begged me to intern. So I used him as an intern.
Wow.
For the first couple of weeks, and then I had this big project coming up. It's like, man, I can't do this by myself. I know I couldn't do it by myself, and I know he could have done it. So I hired him. I said, look, man, you do this project, and I'm still like a beginner in that, you know, and you're kind of a little bit more ripe than I am, but it felt a little bit, it's weird, but
how much time has he given you?
So far, this is his third day.
Okay.
So, but he's doing great. I think he's doing a great job. He's young, but you know, it's just one of those things that, like, if you have to grow, you gotta take that risk.
You have to.
you got to take that risk. You know, and Grant Cardone, which you've heard of, he said, you know, he wished he was more risky when he was young. He's always, you know, he said that before he made a move, he wants everything like in place, the budget and everything, but you just got to take that risk.
Yeah.
You know, and Ray Kroc, which I'm actually reading his book right now, he said,
McDonald's
guy, he said, you got to take that risk that, you know, even though that you might take that risk that you could be broke for it, but yeah, it's worth the investment. So
that's, to me, by definition, that's what an employee, that's what an entrepreneur does.
I know.
They identify the risks that they're willing to take that other people aren't, and they take them, they shoot.
Yeah, and like that risk you took, I mean, buying that towing business, getting the acquisition, getting your family, friends into that investment, you know. One of my friends said, you got to put money down to make money.
True.
I am totally opposite of philosophy. I'm getting back into that philosophy.
Okay. Well, how'd you get to where you are without putting some money up?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I started everything like from like the ground, you know, bottom. I really built up, but obviously I put money into it. I put money on the computer. But I never really thought like advertising was necessary. Never thought that
marketing and
marketing was necessary. But I've been doing more marketing, doing more content.
You're getting good results.
Great results.
Good
results. More people. My business has grown. I'm not sure how much percentage up. I know it's grown a lot more than last year. That I can tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And
you might want to be specific. You want to get specific with that.
Yeah.
You want to be able to measure that because then you can improve it even better.
Exactly.
Anything, you know. Yeah. Growth is worth measuring.
and which is interesting, like you want to grow into like the biggest as much as you can, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's something that I, you know, kind of think about every day. But anyways, you were telling me you also want to expand yourself. Like you're saying that you are, I guess you're going to storage units and trying to get, you know, some collectibles and just resell them on eBay or something.
Right? That's part of the sourcing I do. So I started another business where it's basically just resales, reselling.
Mm-hmm.
Some people call it flipping. You find you find things that are, you know, at a certain price and you flip them and you sell them for more, you know, more than what you paid. Is really the basic Cliff Note version of it. But it's viable. I've experimented with it, got some really good results, and based on those results, I basically duplicated my efforts that I did with the towing company. I got a couple of more investors involved, more partners involved, and said, hey, here's what I've been doing, here are the results I've been getting, I want to get bigger results,
mm-hmm.
Let's put our resources together and go after bigger results.
Now, with like the web company, are you kind of like getting away from it, or you're kind of?
I'm more away from it than I thought I would be. Let's say, for example, as recent as 6 months ago. 6 months ago, if you had told me, hey, you'd be involved in this, this, and this, in addition to Hive Hub Media, I would have said, I'm doing Hive Hub Media. So it's more towards my passion, and I've been spending less and less time with it, but. Now that I've planted these other seeds and they grew, I can't abandon them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, because now I'm seeing this. I'm seeing your tone companies going up.
Yeah.
I'm focusing more on that, or you know, there's more demand in that. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you, whole thing, you know, with towing cars, that's very important. I mean, I was like my car battery went dead 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and I had to get like a tow truck to, you know. To bring my car to a mechanic and get it fixed, mm-hmm. but it's a big need. How much of a big need is it?
It's huge demand. Maybe I have the complex now that I see tow trucks more. Obviously, it's like when you buy a car,
yeah.
and you see it everywhere. So now I see tow trucks everywhere, everywhere. And when I see them, you know, I'm constantly comparing, you know, taking note and comparing how they do business to what we're currently doing. There's a whole community out there, and I've talked to several other owners, several other drivers. There's demand out there. Everybody's driving.
Everybody's driving in the U.S.
Yeah. Especially in Florida.
Yeah.
Coming from up north, you don't, depending on where, but in the city, you don't need a car. You're probably even better off without a car. Here in Florida, yeah, for the most part, everybody needs a car if you want to be part of the economy down here, you got to have a car.
Where were you born in?
Connecticut.
Connecticut, that's
I was born
right.
in Connecticut, 20 minutes from New York.
New York City.
Yep.
That's right. Now, I see you on Snapchat a lot. Is Snapchat your primary social media platform? Or?
Right now it is. I jumped off of Facebook. I took a break from Facebook. I took a break from Instagram. Even though, well, you can follow at My Towing. That's my towing company. Mm. Yeah, I've been, you know, setting up and doing some content on there. But that's from the company perspective. Right. As far as my own personal social media, Instagram and Facebook, I kind of took a detour. Only reason being, and here's the biggest reasons. Everybody's been asking me why, it's been hard for me to put it into words why. But I finally came to the conclusion what it is really about: the amount of time that you have to invest to keep that sort of thing relevant or serve some sort of purpose, and the results I get from that amount of effort and time versus not doing it. I feel like I get better results not being on Facebook.
Really?
Yeah, just, I don't know.
I think Facebook a little bit closed a little bit. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I mean, unless you have a page, I think you're probably more searchable.
Yeah.
But as a personal profile, I mean.
And that's what I was spending most of my time on, is my personal profile.
Yeah.
So if I get back on any sort of social media, it's, for me, it's got to serve some sort of purpose for me to put the amount of time I put into it. Snapchat I love because it's just quick. It's very instant. It's instant content. It's instant feedback.
What would you do different for Snapchat if you had to tell the owners?
If I had to do what?
If you had to tell like the owners, or like if the owners ask you, hey, you know, Jules, what changes would you make to the app?
Oh, of Snapchat?
Yeah.
A lot of them they actually been making. They have. I've seen a lot of improvement on Snapchat, especially with you being able to see more of what's going on. Like when you know, if you spread it out, you can see what's going on. Where people are snapping.
But that's the thing, like, you know, people don't know, like, when to pinch, when to not. Like, I always forget, I can pinch and I can see everyone.
So you know what that problem is? That's a UI problem. User interface, user experience problem.
Which Snapchat is going to change their app, I've heard, because their stock's been going down lately.
And I would say that, you know, not that I have, you know, all the expertise in the world, but I would say a big part of the reason for that is Facebook. Facebook introducing their version of pretty much Snapchat, of live video, video period, in addition to live video. They automatically entered the same domain that Snapchat is in, so.
Yeah, which that really took a toll. I mean, all of the Facebook properties, mm-hmm. like the Facebook app, Instagram, WhatsApp, mm-hmm. and Messenger, man, that was a blitz.
Yeah.
It was a blitzkrieg, but.
Business is war, and I like that you pay attention to what other businesses are doing. So, because so do I. Business is war, and look at that. Facebook, I forget that Facebook does own Instagram now. They do own WhatsApp.
Instagram was the biggest acquisition, though.
Oh, that was huge.
Bigger than WhatsApp.
That was huge. If I'm not mistaken, they tried to buy Snapchat.
They did, and Snapchat turned it down.
Right.
They might be regretting that.
Snapchat might.
You think so?
That's an interesting question. I mean, that's where the war comes in, because it's here at the time that they made the offer. Snapchat didn't have much competition, if any. And when they made them that offer, they were basically saying, hey, we can do what you're doing, but we'd rather acquire what you're already doing. For whatever reason, Snapchat decided no.
Which I think they offered over more than Instagram, they offered. I don't know, it was like $6 billion or wow. I think $19 billion.
So ask yourself this, or at least this is what I asked myself. If Snapchat turned down, let's say it was $6 billion. Mm-hmm. If Snapchat turned down $6 billion, it's either A, because they felt like they could get that same $6 billion on their own, or B, because that money wasn't a factor to them. I'm more leaning towards the influence of B, because as a business owner, you know that's your baby. That's your thing. The team that started Snapchat, they're probably still involved, and they're probably still they have an attachment to it. That maybe when Facebook came along, they were like, we're still trying to do our own thing.
They're probably emotionally involved.
Yeah.
It has to be. And I know that Evan Spiegel wants to change the whole app, apparently. And I think he's going to try to make it more Instagram-ish if he had to make any type of moves. But
the irony there is, so Instagram tried to buy them because they were different.
Yeah.
Now they've got to try to be more like
Instagram. Exactly.
That's business. I love that.
And like, here's the thing with Instagram. I think Instagram is great, but I think it's too much going on. You got the stories and they got the post. Mm-hmm. I'm doing more the stories than like reading post. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like it's one or the other, Instagram. Yeah. But you know, it's whatever. So
yeah.
And can you tell us, how's your coding expertise?
So my coding has suffered the most. out of anything, because as you know, because you seem to stay on the cutting edge, and that line moves every day. A day, 2 days, 3 days on the internet is a month, 2 months, 3 months on in outside of the internet. So coding, as fast as it evolves, I feel like I'm way behind the eight ball. If I wanted to be back in the same position relative to everybody else that I was when I first started getting into coding, when we met at WordCamp, I'm behind. I'd be behind than where I was relative back then.
Jules, you've moved fast this past couple of months.
You think so?
I mean, yeah, like ever since like March, was it?
Yeah.
Man, I can imagine what's going to happen in a year from now.
Wow. I appreciate that feedback. I don't know. I keep my. I'm so focused on what I'm doing. I had a friend earlier that I was talking to, and she was mentioning. She said something similar to what you just said. That there's a lot of the people around me are noticing changes. See, the way she described it is, I'm in this race. She said, Jules, you're in this race, and you're moving so fast, and you're not coming back to. You're not coming back to help us or something like that. Something to the effect of, I'm moving faster than...
Yeah, you're moving fast. You're bigger than them, or like...
I'm about growth. You know what I mean? Exactly. I'm all about growth. If I have my eye... And I wasn't always like this, but I'm like this now. If I have my eye on a particular goal, particular result, I got to put all my energy and resources into it. I try to eliminate any kind of distraction. Part of that distraction is the influences that you allow. So I don't do anymore. I don't spend a lot of time with people that are employees anymore. That sounds kind of harsh.
I can say the same too. Also, it's a whole different mentality.
You know that better. Yeah, I don't have to explain it to you.
And then like you feel some jealousy on their end in a way. Of like negativity. Oh, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Or like, oh, really? Like, you know, obviously. But, you know, you just have that feeling from them. But then also, like, the mentality of, it's just it's a whole different mentality.
Whole different mentality. Like, and when they, the things that they're after at being employees, being an employee, you're pursuing safety. You're after safety.
Yeah.
You've made safety.
Fear. Too.
Right, but fear based on you want to stay safe, you want to stay comfortable. Exactly. Hey, I like having a check come to me every, because here's the thing, right? You got a skill set. If you make widgets, you know how to make widgets. You're the best widget maker in the world. And somebody's paying you to make those widgets. What's stopping you from making, starting your own company and paying somebody else to do widgets? Or automating your widget making skill, and starting your own company?
I agree.
Safety, because you're comfortable giving somebody else that responsibility of, here's your check. Next week, here's your check. Next week, here's your check. When you step out of that, when you step into a business owner, entrepreneur mindset, you're the one handing the checks. You're the one responsible that there's income to cover those checks. You know what I mean? So when you speak, I spend a lot of time with people that are still kind of, employees. They still have their day jobs. And I don't. And I have much more control over my time and over my energy than they do. And so that's why that conversation I had earlier with a friend, made an impact on me, why I remembered it, because it just made me realize we're really in all these different races. I'm not in the same race they were anymore. They're in the so-called rat race. I'm not in that rat race anymore.
I agree. Where do you see yourself in a year?
I want to see double the results I'm seeing from my companies right now. I'll say that. I do expect a double results.
Okay.
The revenue that we're making now, the amount of employees we have now, the staffing, all the systems we're using, I'd like to see that double.
I was going to ask you, you think for your tone company specifically,
I'd like to be in a couple more cities. Next year, I plan on being in two or three more cities. Right now, we're in one city up on the Treasure Coast, about an hour and a half from here, maybe.
Wow.
We serve that entire area, but we're based out of one city. I'd like to get trucks in Orlando. I'd like to get trucks in
How
Miami.
Difficult is that? Is that like you got to get permission from each city?
Yeah, well, there's certifications and licenses, blue tape, red tape, I'm sorry. There's a lot of red tape you got to handle, but, that's what separates people that actually want to put in the effort and do it versus tire kickers.
If you had to tell a potential entrepreneur any advice, what would you give them?
Any given entrepreneur? Depends on what they're after. Time. Control your time. Control your time, you control your destiny. Just generically, if you're an entrepreneur, any kind of entrepreneur, And I have to give you some sort of advice. Control your time.
What book? What is your favorite business book?
I know Rich Dad Poor Dad made a big impact on me, but I wouldn't necessarily classify that as a business book. The E-Myth. The E-Myth. As far as business book, like that's the category that it is. Yeah, I'd say the E-Myth, and that was actually a recommendation to me the day that I made the announcement at my last job that I was leaving. I sent out a couple of emails to different people, and one of the higher execs, one of the owners actually, of a sister company, recommended that book to me. She came in, she was a dear friend of mine. She came in and she said, "Jules, I heard that you're gonna go start your own endeavor. Read this book." And I took her word for it. I don't know if she thought that I was, I don't know if she knew that I was a person that reads a lot, but I am. And she recommended that book to me, and I devoured it that weekend. And explosion. It made me realize. It gave me much more fire for the step I was about to take than anything else.
Rich Dad Poor Dad, every entrepreneur tells me about that book. Is that something?
It's a paradigm shifter. If you're an employee and you read Rich Dad Poor Dad, you'll never be the same again.
Wow. Who's your favorite entrepreneur?
My favorite entrepreneur.
Or business owner.
Business owner. I like Grant. I like Grant Cardone. Definitely. We share that in common. I like Grant Cardone. But Grant, even though as much as I like Grant, his style isn't so much my style. I'm a little bit more conservative, I guess, than he is. Grant's out there. Grant's out there. Yeah. And that's how I came across him. But he's good. I like Grant. I like Dr. Dre. Believe it or not.
Dr. Dre.
I consider Dr. Dre a business person more than I do a rapper. Yeah. Dr. Dre.
He owns part of the Nets. Well, he did, I guess. It was like a percentage.
Among other things that he owns. This dude.
Yeah.
A lot of the moves he's made. Yeah. Russell Simmons. Jay-Z. If you could tell, I'm very hip-hop influenced. So I like a lot of the moves that these guys have done in terms of business. Taking something that they actually love and that a culture that they live and, creating viable businesses out of it. Yeah, those guys are the people I really look to.
What is your favorite music streaming service?
Spotify, for now.
Why Spotify?
It's just what I started with. Most of the stuff I look for is there, except for Jay-Z's stuff. Jay-Z got his own Tidal thing going.
That's still going. I'm surprised.
Yeah, I am. I'm impressed that he's able to. I keep getting conflicting reports on how well it's doing.
It sounds like it's not that hard to start a streaming app.
I don't know about that. Well, it does. A lot of them are springing up. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But what's happening now is that's the irony of that. It's a weird thing. Imagine where music was before the i products started coming out, iTunes and all the et ceteras, where people started making music a lot more personal. They broke the music industry. Into, okay, hey, your song, I used to have to go to a record store and buy it, and now I could just press a button and it's there. Then it became, hey, I could share what I bought with other people, and then that just destroyed the part of the revenue from that was made from buying and selling music. Mm-hmm. And then it became, okay, now all of a sudden streaming services came along. So you had access to all the music in the world, and then people like Jay, people like Apple, people like whoever the other competitors are, they came along and said, okay, yeah, we'll stream music, but hey, we've got exclusive content, right? So now Jay's keeping all his stuff on his thing. Drake and Apple have whatever they got going on. So even so that's where Spotify is, that's what they're battling against right now, is that they don't have access, they're not giving you access to everything like they used to. So that's a whole new battle. Basically, my point is, music is just—it is a constant evolution, right? It's a constant.
It is, and which is interesting because Apple had to get into that game to streaming, or else they'll be behind.
They started it, and then they got
because
nobody really—I don't know. Last I had an iPad up until about 4 years ago. I had like a 32. I had a huge one. It might have been even bigger than 32. Huge iPod. And I remember iPods were like the thing. Everybody walked around with an iPod.
It was the coolest thing to have.
Coolest thing to have. And it was actually a useful thing to have, right? And then cell phones came about. Now everybody's got their music on their cell phone. And not everybody's got an iPhone. Android's picking up, So, the game's changed. You got to constantly evolve.
And people don't want to buy music. They want to rent music.
Yeah, they don't realize that's what they're doing. But that's
And when the thing is, like, once you end that music subscription, That music's gone from your phone. At least for Apple Music, you know. I mean, Spotify.
It's there, but commercials and who else knows, whatever else. Podcast network.
Here's some random questions.
Okay.
Would you rather give up listening to music or watching sports?
Watching sports.
If you had to tell your 15-year-old self something, what would you tell him?
Wow. If I had to tell my 15-year-old self something, what would I tell him? So much I could tell him. Figure yourself out. Quick.
Wow. Would you rather read minds or be invisible?
Be invisible. Yeah.
I would choose that too.
Yeah, be invisible.
I mean, yeah, reading minds, yeah. I mean, as a business owner, you want to read like how like the person's thinking when you're negotiating, but...
If I could read minds, I think business would be the last thing on my mind. You could read minds, you're opening Pandora's box. I don't want that. I don't want it.
It would be weird to read people's minds. I think it would be really ugly.
That's part of the human, the beautiful thing about being human is that we can't read each other's mind.
That's the thing. That's part of life. That's part of the game.
Yeah, otherwise communication comes down to like... Oh, you thought it, so that's you. No, that's... I've learned that through meditation. Do you meditate?
I do not meditate, but I pray.
Okay, that's a sort of meditation.
Yeah.
Meditation has changed me into that I've learned that. That's one of the biggest things I've learned. You're not your thoughts. So if you could read people's thoughts, now you're jumping into the... Imagine you're already seeing people's social media and all the et cetera, and you see all of that, and you think you know them. Now imagine you start reading their thoughts, and you automatically identify them as their thoughts. It becomes a scary world.
Can you read people?
Can I? Yeah. I feel like I can, yeah. I've gotten pretty good results, yeah, from what I access, the assessments I make based on.
I try not to, even though I do, because I hate, like assuming things about what people are thinking. Mm-hmm. Because I've been totally wrong, and I have been wrong before what people are thinking. Mm-hmm. But I went to law school for one semester, and I'm like... You know, innocent to proven guilty, so I have to see like all the facts out before I make any conclusions.
Okay.
Which is probably, you know, it could be a good thing, right? But, wow. Jules, thank you for coming onto the podcast. I really appreciate any final words for our audience.
Follow me on Twitter and on Snapchat while I'm there at Chef Boyarduce, CHEFBOYRDEUCE. Love to hear your feedback. Love to, you know, I like interacting with people that think like me or after the same things I'm after. So hit me up. Let's talk.
Me and Jules talk all the time. I really appreciate you coming on. I feel like we just had a great conversation. This is probably very fun because I know that you and I share a lot of the, you know, entrepreneurship, similar passions, and we're young and you know, who knows what's gonna happen in 5 years or like 1 year from now, but it's really exciting and really glad to see you progress.
Appreciate
way that. Faster than me, way faster than I've ever met anyone, and I'm really...
You think so? Wow.
I mean, what? It's almost like 6 months and you've bought, obviously it was not all you, you got a towing company with employees. And you told me like the numbers, you ran like all the numbers. Like, man, that's awesome. Yeah. That's great. So you got like some good foothold. I think you should still continue with that and hopefully expand to like, you know, Tampa, Orlando, maybe Fort Myers, or even locally, maybe Miami. I don't know if you can do it. Maybe it's too crowded. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, Jules, thank you very much. Guys, thank you for listening to the Sleon podcast. Please leave a review on iTunes. So we can get more attention and get more featured on the Apple Podcast iTunes platform. Thank you very much. God bless. See you guys next time.
Peace.